Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Brought to you by our great friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. You got your host, James J. Maloff, here behind the mic at 10:04. I am joined by my partner in sports, Mr. Randy Paul.
Morning, James. Morning, everyone.
We hope you guys are having a good one out there. At about 10:30, maybe a little after 10:30, we'll probably take some calls. For right now, we are welcoming in our head coach, GM, if you're Wisconsin Rapids or River Kings, Coach Peckman with us. And Coach, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
I appreciate the time. I didn't know we'd be seeing you today, to be honest, Coach. I wasn't sure. I didn't want to put that on the spot or anything like that. Thanks a lot for being here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm getting ready to start the recruiting trail, so I'll be leaving town for a couple months, and I figured I'd stop by, say hello, and talk about the end of the season.
I love it. I love being able to put a wrap up on the season. I appreciate that, and I love being able to hear the behind the curtains kind of thing. The what's going on for our River Kings throughout the off season and stuff. And when it comes to that and the recruiting thing, I talk to baseball scouts every once in a while. Or at least I used to, and there were some. You know, well, I'm down south, and so I'm pretty much southern states. That's where I am. Mm-hmm. Another guy that I knew worked out in the east. They pretty much stayed in America here, though. That was pretty much what they did. They didn't have the budget for kind of like out of the country kind of scouting or anything. Then there's hockey, where like everywhere they're playing hockey, and it's words and it's places that you've never heard of before in some cases and everything. When it comes to scouting hockey, what is one of the first things that people that don't know anything about it you think would be interesting?
Well, you have access to players all over the world a lot easier today than you did when I was playing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But, I have scouts and agents that I deal with in Europe and recruiting a kid from Iceland. We signed already another guy from Norway, a guy from Italy, a guy from the UK, a kid right here from Wisconsin, Central Cedarburg High School goalie just signed. So you have your network, and it's behind the scenes, it's just relationships, it's just guys that you trust, guys that are in different areas, different states, and I get to go to these combines, and I get to go to all these things, and I'm also a scout for a higher-level team, so I go to camps.
Sure.
I work for Johnstown. I've been with them for 8 years, so I go to all their camps. I run their benches during their pre-drafts, and when they get to main camp, help them get the right guys there. So we'll have a couple of our guys go there, and if they take them, awesome. If they don't, that's where, I had 8 guys on our roster from the main camp last year. So that's where I built that relationship, and they trust me, and that's all scouting is, really.
When you're new to an organization, to a team, to a city, how important is it to get build those pipelines and to get them in place as soon as possible as you're building?
It's critical. It's very important to me. One of the first things I did was make a list of every high school, every coach, and sent them out an email, let them know that I was here. This is who we are and what we're doing, and to make some contacts throughout the year. All the high schools that come here to Rapids, and I've traveled to some. I've been to Wausau, Marshall, and you go to some of these places just to watch certain kids and then just start. And now I just got an email from my high school coach today, this morning, that he's got a couple guys that are interested in playing juniors. And so, you talk, and it just makes it easier because there are a lot of good high school players, and that's where they usually come from. It's either U18 AAA or U16 AAA. Or high school, right? Before they get to the next levels. So that helps.
I don't know how many people would know this or really need to know this or anything, but with acting, it works a little like this with scouting. There's a very similar thing that goes on with casting agents and agents, where, like me, I've been established since 08, so I've got a body of work that people can go off of. And if they're looking for a Italian Jew that looks like a scarecrow, they're going to pull me out. They know me, like, hey, this kid, that kid, that's exactly what we're looking for. They create these connections. connections, these pipelines, agency and agent and that kind of thing. So if I am looking for that particular thing, oh, I know I can go to this guy. Is that a similar kind of thing? It does seem like it's an interesting kind of similar thing. If you guys play a certain style of hockey and I'm a guy that knows, oh, I got this kid that would fit perfectly in your system, I'm going to reach out to you. This is the pipeline. This is kind of how it works.
Yeah, mostly.
Sometimes, and that end of it.
Well, they trust. It's the recruiting part, and then where do you put and then where do you move these guys to, right? So that's where I'm at. So guys trust to know that if they come to me, I'm going to give my guys exposure, right? So I got my goalie Bora, excuse me, that is already back in Czech Republic. Well, there's a big camp going on in Norway run by an agent of mine that I deal with all the time. Mm-hmm. So get them in front of the guys out there, and then, you know, and then he's sending me players because he knows I got a couple guys that are going to go to college and move on, and that I take care of my guys and I teach and I develop, and we win more than we lose. Right?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's a successful program, and it's a place that the kids love to be at. Right, and that was the biggest thing. I didn't have, everybody seemed to have a great year, players and parents, other than one parent, but I won't go talk about that. But, you can't make everybody happy,
no.
I guess. But so in that regard, it's a great atmosphere, it's a great community, and it's something that people want to come to. It's a true junior experience, right, what we have here. And so it makes it enticing that people want to, like my buddy from college just called me while we were sitting outside,
yeah,
because he's a high school coach in Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
Right, that's why that call happened. Right?
Okay.
And so that's how that happens.
Yeah.
It's just relationships.
And, you know, we were talking a little bit about that, too, as far as the recruiting trail goes. We said, or I asked you the question off air, what do you look for? Do you look for high-character kids that you can develop into players, or do you look for great players that you can develop their character?
It's more character for me. I can teach. I can teach. I'm not a skills coach. I'm a game situational coach. Right? I teach options. What is your option if you're here? Right? You're in the same spots in the rink a lot in a game and over a season, right?
Yeah.
What are your options, right, if this happens or if this happens? So that's what I teach. I mean, listen, if you can't cross over and skate backwards by now, you probably should be here, right?
Yeah.
So it's about guys. It's about this here, because the game is 90% mental, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta have these kids here be aware and gotta be able to implement it in a split second. And those are the guys that I'm looking for. They gotta have talent. Now, you look and you can see. I can pick out a guy in 5 minutes on video. If he's got what I'm looking for, right? So, and then go all these camps. So, to me, I want to know what the family's about. That's why I get on Zoom calls. I talk to the parents.
Yeah.
Talk to the kid. I'll have my players call him and get him a player's perspective and see how he interacts with the player, right? And if the player likes him, he's like, yeah, he's a good kid, coach.
Mm.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I got it coming from different angles, because that's the most important. You don't want to have that guy, right, in the locker room that's going to break everything up, because he'll be the first one to go. I don't care how good he is.
Right.
I mean, Tobias Valkheid was the perfect example. Loved the kid. I mean, you want to talk about funny as anything off the ice? On the ice, he was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, though, to his... I'll give him props because in the playoffs he played tremendous.
Yeah,
right. He played, because he is a very good hockey player.
See, that's got to be one of the toughest things to at this level, especially to balance. It's all well and good to say we bring good kids to the we're looking for good kids, high character kids and stuff. But you got to keep a job here. I mean, you know, especially you're just walking into this and stuff. Now you're good, you're okay here. But say the season hadn't gone the way you wanted it to, and you're 0-15, you don't make the playoffs, all this and stuff. All of a sudden, like, that character stuff sounds great, but I gotta try to keep my job here. So being able to walk that balance of that, like, it's how hard do you find that to be? Like, oh, this kid is so talented, but he's a knucklehead. It ain't gonna work. Like, you want to bring him in. Like, do you have to make those tough calls sometimes?
Sure. Yeah. It's that's that fine line you walk, right? And it's just like, well, how important is winning? Well, it's not, because you want to build these kids, turn them into men, right? But at the same time, you got to win.
Yeah.
Right. When we jib down to seventh place, things started to get a little hairy for a little bit, right? You're like, well, I got to do something here. And that's when I brought in Bowman and I brought in Whitehead and Bagnall, and all of a sudden things took off a little bit. So we had, it was just a little fine tuning, but it's important. It's really important to figure out. And here's another thing too. There's a lot of kids out there.
Mm.
So I'm not going to put all my eggs in one one kid, right?
Yeah.
So it's just about using your resources and your relationships. Hey, I need a kid here. I need this. I'm looking for this. Okay. But you know, and guys know me by now. Mm-hmm. You know what I like, mm-hmm. and you know what kind of character this kid is, right? So I was told about Tobias well before, and I knew it. But first year, you want to make sure you have somebody that you know you can rely on a scoreboard, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see what I can do with this kid. And he's a great kid, and he'll be the first one to give you a hug and say, I love you, coach, right? So, tremendous kid. It's just he's got that switch.
Yeah.
And there was one or two of them this year that was tough to manage it sometimes, and sometimes Listen, you take away the one thing, like any kid, you take it away from him, right? What's the one thing they like to do? Play hockey.
Yeah.
You take that away from him, and all of a sudden, they smarten up for a little bit.
Right, right.
Right? So you got to constantly juggle that.
And if they don't, they're not going to the next level.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, you were talking a little bit before about the recruiting trail, and we were talking about that as well off air. Maybe you want to just share how intense that is now coming up where you're all traveling to.
I was curious about that.
Well, I'm going to tomorrow, actually. I'm heading to St. Louis because I work with Johnstown. So they have the NA3 Championships, which is another competitor league, right, another junior league. So I'll be recruiting there, Wednesday and Thursday. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday is the North American Hockey League Combine. So I'll be representing Johnstown there. So I'll be doing that. And then I go home for about a month. And then I'll take a weekend or a couple of days, and I'll drive up to Michigan for one of Johnstown's pre-draft camps.
Hmm.
2 weeks later, I'll be in Chicago. 2 weeks later, I'll be back up to Michigan again. Chicago and the second Michigan are for our league combines that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And then Minnesota for another Johnstown camp. And then Quebec is a junior hockey advancement camp up there that I've built a relationship with. And then I'll go to Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and then I'll take a family vacation.
Do you go through two cars a year? The mileage you must put on.
Yeah, yeah.
I think last year was over 20,000 miles.
I can't imagine this.
Yeah.
Coach, before we let you go here, thoughts on the season as we kind of recap the season. How do you feel about it now, having a little bit of time away from the playoffs and everything?
You know what? I'm very, very pleased. I'm very happy for these kids. I'm proud of them. I thought they did a tremendous job. Look, we're two wins away from going to the Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, for what happened from the beginning to now, I thought I love the progression that we made. The fact that we, I guess, exercised the demons against the Blue Ox, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we had our wins along the way that I thought made it just so much more memorable and exciting for these guys, and I'm glad they got to experience those things. So I am very happy with where we sit. You know, I've actually had some players talk about they want to come here next year because this is the team to beat, they feel. So that's good to know that people are talking about us like that and thinking about us. And listen, the future is bright here. And, you know, now it's just about getting more people in the seats and try to grow that fan base and keep rolling. You know, I mean, I'm happy. It's been a good first year.
We're gonna definitely help you build hockey up and down the river. We're gonna continue to do that. We're very proud of that around here. Proud of our River Kings. One of the more memorable seasons of hockey I'll ever remember as a hockey fan. I'm not talking about like the River Kings. I mean just as a hockey fan. We're talking any at pro this level, whatever. One of the most memorable seasons I will remember, and that's just because of the love of the game. And I think that that got brought back in some ways to this area. Again, it is nothing to do with previous management or anything like that. It's about today and going forward. And we have the perfect GM, the perfect coach for going forward with our River Kings. And I'm looking dang forward to next year already. Can we start the season next week? Can we not? I'm excited about what's to come.
A couple plays short. But
yeah. My dad and I can suit up for you any time. I don't know how good we'd be. We'd be on the 10th line. Nobody has a 10th line, but we'd be on it if you had one. Coach, thank you so much for being with us today. I do, before we let you go, though, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't, Lady Badgers win the title yesterday and everything. I'd be remiss not to mention this to you. Did you get a chance to catch any of the game?
I did. The whole game.
Oh, I didn't get to see the whole game. I got to see the third period. Oh, it was awesome. God, it was cool.
It was, they're a tough team. I mean, Mark did a great job. You know, obviously they're not ranked, right? So they got to go through number three, number two, and then number one to get there. I thought they played tremendous defense. He had them running on all cylinders. It was a good game to watch.
It was a fun game. Yeah. That was a fun game. And a shout out to the Lady Badgers. It's one thing to win. It's another to defeat a rival in that moment. Like, right. That's another level,
I mean, that was the top team, right? Ohio State was the top team. And they looked like they were just going to pour it on for a little bit towards the end. And Mark just had them just collapsing in the house, everybody being staying put.
I like that strategy. Yeah. I liked what he did at the end of the game. I know he didn't reinvent the wheel, nothing like that, but I like what he was doing there with that team in that moment. I thought that was really smart.
You got to, and that's the whole thing, is you got to be aware of the game situations. And obviously Mark knows better than most, right? That you got to just be in the shooting lanes, right? Don't overcommit. Don't get exposed out there. If the puck is loose, it's a 50-50 battle. If it's not, okay, just be in between. And that's what we try to preach here. It's just, obviously, he does it a little bit better. congrats to him. That's a great job.
I have no doubt that we're going to be celebrating plenty coming up with our River Kings. And we're looking forward to that. Want to remind everybody to make sure to bookmark and keep on the webpage, riverkingshockey.com. Keep that in your keep that saved in your bookmarks and come back to it throughout the season here. We're looking forward to you joining us again real soon, Coach. We'll talk coming up here sometime in the future, but we'll stay in touch off air and everything, and we'll be communicating. Thanks again to you and your family, everything you brought to this team and to this community. A shout out to all these host families, all the volunteers, a certain big shout out to everybody at the Southwick County Rec Center that do such a great job over there keeping that thing running. Appreciate everybody. Appreciate all the fans here too, helping us on our sister station covering these games, our ratings being so good over there for these games. This town has really supported this team, and we have a lot of, plenty of happiness going forward, plenty of things to look forward to going forward.
Thank you so much. And if I can, before we go, I just want to personally say thank you to everybody out there, that all the listeners and all the fans and everybody, to reiterate what you said, that came out and supported us. To me, coming into an environment like this is just incredible. It's what every team I wish could experience. And for that, I'm very grateful and thankful, and I'm excited to be here.
Thanks again for being here, Coach. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more conversation. You can get ready to call up 424-2600 and join us on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. A big thank you to them. My partner in sports, Randy Paul, here with you. And I want to send a big shout out to Coach Paul Peckman for joining us. Always appreciate the time from him all season long. And just talking to him a little bit during the break there, he's probably going to join us during the recruiting trail here at some point. So we're looking forward to talking with him again real soon. Do want to talk with you. Phone lines are open, 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation, everybody. It's interesting, Randy and I, during our little time out there, were talking about Coach and how much you really got to love what you do to do this job. It's one thing to be able to be in real time and coaching a game. Most of us would want to do that, coach a team in a real moment. But the recruiting, the grind, doing all that, that's where you show that you really love this and it's a passion for you. And I was talking about that, and Randy and I were agreeing on it. But I got to say the same thing about you, man. Like, you travel this state every year during football and basketball season. It's not like you're making, like, Rockefeller money or anything. You really got to love what you do for doing it 30-plus years doing this, right? Am I right about that? Yes. I want to make sure. Okay. Yeah. And so there's a similar love there. There's a similar passion I'm sure you could relate to in many ways.
It was funny because people who have worked here in the past, whether it's Terry Steak, Dave Miller, Greg Gack, you know, we just talk about the reason that we do it is, of course, the love of the sport. And there's so much more to it than just calling the games, which is a blast. Don't get me wrong. That's so much fun. But getting to know these coaches, getting to know these families and these players, you know, kids that I called, you know, in game broadcasts years ago will come up and we'll see each other in town and they'll just chat away and they'll talk about those great memories from high school. And those are the things that the reason you do it is not for the pay, obviously. You're doing it for the love of the sport. And you can imagine what Coach Peckman's going through, you know, because like he said, and that was one thing that just really jumped out at me during the conversation before we went on the air. He's talking about how he's going to travel, you know, to St. Louis and to Chicago, and he's going to Michigan and Minnesota, and then Quebec, and I'm sure that isn't Quebec, Wisconsin.
yeah.
Right? And then he goes, oh, yeah, and then during the week, I go to Wausau or I go to Marshfield to watch these players well. So he's just constantly on the road.
We will take a call real quick. Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Good. Yourself?
Well, not too bad. You know, this is one of the best times of year. You know, you always look forward to the fall to watch football, but this time of year for college and high school sports, it's just awesome, you know. And I actually, you know, I had a chance to sit down and watch the it was all Badger Day yesterday is what it was, or morning, I should say. Watching the Badgers basketball game, a very physical game. At times they let it go, at times they didn't let it go. But watching that women's hockey game, those referees swallowed the whistle yesterday.
Yeah. I wanted to bring that up with Coach. I noticed that right, like in the first period, notice it in the highlights. My dad actually got to watch the whole game, so he was telling me like right away, catching me up on stuff. And the first thing he said, "Jimmy, they ain't calling anything." Like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's different rules. I mean, obviously with the women's hockey to the men's hockey, but man, I mean, it was a very physical game yesterday.
It's a fun game.
Mark's got those girls skating unbelievable, and the freshmen, all the freshmen they have more points than the upperclassmen this year. Yeah. What is Wisconsin hockey going to be like the next 3 years?
Right? Yeah. I really, if I didn't love the Badgers so much, I'd try to steal them for the Blackhawks. I love the coach my team. It's really exciting looking forward to that. And I think on the men's side, because I liked Granato. I liked him as a coach. I understand that he had to go and it wasn't working. But I don't think it was necessarily just on him. And with the new... With the new regime here in Madison, and though it's not a new regime, but with the way that they're kind of apparently going to be approaching things going forward and everything is, hey, we're going big fish hunting. I'm very curious to see who they're going to bring in on the men's side to coach that team, because there is a Wisconsin Badger football, pretty established, got a very healthy, you know, body of work there. Wisconsin Badger basketball, men's, ladies, pretty good history. Then there's Wisconsin hockey. And that is a different level. That is on a different echelon, and it still is. It's still considered that way. It's still, at least as far as I've heard and I've seen from hockey heads and stuff. So who you're going to bring in to coach that men's hockey team is very interesting, especially when you look at how good the ladies have been doing.
And you kind of read my mind through the phone here, James, because I was going to ask you that same question. Where do we go from here?
Yeah.
You know, there's such a standard on the hockey end of it. With, you know, granted that the women hockey is still young. It's only really been around 20 years.
Yeah.
So you have 7 national championships in 20 years.
That's insane.
I mean,
it's awesome.
You know, Minnesota, I guess, you know, they had 6. They showed that graphic yesterday, you know. But it's just the hockey is, you know, you would always kind of associate, especially back, I think, when I was in school, hockey was kind of, you thought of Minnesota more, or Canada.
Yeah.
But you never really truly sat down, and now that I'm older and able to see it more, the amount of good hockey players, or great hockey players, that came out of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
you know, or kids from Minnesota or kids from Canada are coming to Wisconsin because of the atmosphere and how things are at Wisconsin. Is that, you know, it's the fan base itself.
Yeah.
You go to a Badger hockey game. I mean, I know the last few years the attendance has been kind of low and everything, but it's just the atmosphere at Wisconsin, and the fans are awesome there, and they show at home ices at times, you know, with having the fans there and filling it up. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing who they're going to bring in. I'm hoping they bring in that winning mentality, and obviously it's probably going to be a national search, you know, for that coach. So
what about shifting gears a little bit here to the men's Wisconsin Badgers men's team and them running this NIT tournament a little bit here? Have you been able to catch any of that? Have you enjoyed it? And I'm asking you as well as the audience, I want to know how many people have been following them in the NIT. Since it's the NIT, I didn't know if people can find the games. It can be hard sometimes.
Right.
But if people care as much. From what I've noticed, most Badger fans I know are treating this like they're in the NCAA tournament, like from what I'm hearing. And I think that's awesome. I think that's kind of cool.
Well, you know, I think too, the NIT is kind of game popular.
Yeah.
The popularity a little bit more. A lot of the teams that are in the NIT were those bubble teams anyway. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They could have been participating in the NCAA tournament. I watched it. Yeah. I mean, college basketball is one of my favorite things to watch. You know,
I thought so.
And trying to watch, you know, this year, you know, there's some people disappointed in how things are going in the big show, in the dance. Mm. I'm loving it. It just shows on this transfer portal. I mean, in football, it's a little different because if one person transfers, could that make a huge difference in the winner-loss column? It could, but nothing compared to what happens in basketball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One guy could make that difference. A kid that goes, I say, go to Wisconsin, and he sits for 2 years, but he's good enough to play maybe at a small D1 school and really up his stock. He could transfer and play, you know, it doesn't have to sit a year.
Yeah.
And I think with this transfer portal, it's making the competitive balance. And it's showing. I mean, even showing in the NIT, there's some teams that you would never guess winning games.
Yeah,
it's showing that the transfer portal is a good thing for college basketball.
Do you think they're going to have to take a look at how they run the tournament right now? Because, you know, we've had another 16 and 15 seeds winning again this year. Are they going to have to go to the point where they say, you know what, everybody's eligible, instead of just picking the top 68 and saying, you know what, let's cut out the conference tournaments. Let's go with regional tournaments.
Mm.
And everybody's involved. And maybe we shorten the season to 25 games, but that length, you know, they still have the same number of games. But that way everybody gets involved, because we're seeing that there are teams who we would have never dreamt would be, you know, still playing today, but are.
I want to disagree with that one. I mean, what's the tournament based on money,
yeah,
you know, yeah. And that's the almighty dollar. Could that generate more revenue for the NCAA? It could, but I mean,
how long?
Just the excitement,
yeah,
you know.
I love this time of year so darn much. And all this stuff going on, and we haven't even gotten a chance, and Randy and I will touch on it before the end of the show, the World Baseball Classic is even going on. That's been thrown into the mix and everything, along with all this stuff. So as sports fans, we're our bandwidth is pressed and tested, but we're very happy. We're very much enjoying it. I always appreciate talking to you, sir.
Yeah, you guys have a great day and enjoy your week.
You too. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. We got to get to break. I hope I didn't cut him off.
We could talk all day.
We could. We definitely could. This show needs to be longer than an hour.
Exactly.
It just does. More than once a week, more than an hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun here on Randy's actually got some local stuff for us. We'll come back with on Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Your host, James, here, and I'm joined by my partner in sports, Randy Paul. Randy always does a fantastic job with some local coverage. What do you got, Randy?
kind of the end of the winter sports. You know, spring is 6 hours away, and Jennifer keeps talking snow. She's got to stop doing that.
Yeah, we really need to update that.
But we're wrapping up the high school season with the boys' high school basketball state championships that were held at the Kohl Center in Madison, the 107th WIAA basketball championships. We begin in Division Five, where Newman Catholic defeated Royal on Friday 52-42. And then on Saturday, they won their first gold ball ever, 66-54, over McDonald Central in their first ever appearance. Connor Kroc led the Cardinals with 21 points. Austin Prey had 18, and Isaac Sadell threw down 15. I was talking to my grandson and said, you know what? Assumption was within seven of the Cardinals up in Newman when they were in that regional semifinal, and they ended up losing by 11. Outside of that Royal game, I think that was the closest tournament game that the Cardinals had. So basically, we could say the Assumption Royals got second place.
Yeah, yeah.
They should give them a silver
ball. They should. That's something as a coaching staff, though, you can take going into the next season, I would imagine. And if our teams can't win it, I do love seeing a team that's never won it before being able to do that. Congratulations to that team.
Yeah, and a local team, too. That's pretty awesome.
That's really cool.
Division 4, Onalaska Luther held off upset-minded Kenosha St. Joe's 60-46. It's actually where our Prince went from our school to their school, so
that's awesome.
Another tie for me there. That was their first ever WIAA championship. How about this one? Another tie for me. Division 3, my hometown of Brilliant.
Hey.
Upsets top-ranked West Salem 61-55 to win their first championship since 2012. Kind of funny little side note here. In 2012, the son of the owner of the golf course in Brilliant was on that team. They have new ownership. The son of the owner of the golf course in Brilliant was on this team.
Oh, that's a thing. Got to keep doing that now.
They got to sell that golf course.
Yes, they do.
29-1. Their only loss on the season? Mosinee at Brilliant. Mosinee blocked a shot at the buzzer that would have won it for Brilliant. Otherwise, they would have won 30-0.
Wow.
Division 2, Pewaukee outscores Whitnall by 12 in the second half. They pick up the 71-54 win, and it's third straight championship for Pewaukee.
Whew.
A little bit of a dynasty down there.
Yeah.
And in Division 1, another tie, where my dad went to high school. DePere.
Oh, nice. Yes. Yeah. I love it.
They did finish a perfect 30-0 season as they outscored Arrow Half in half number 2 by 18 points and won it by the final of 69-49. Their first state championship. Now, back in our day, it wasn't like Division 1, 2, 3 like that. It was Class A, Class B, Class C.
Yeah.
So they won Class B back in 1934.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, long time.
Been a while. Been a bit of a drought.
The Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association recently announced their girls' high school all-state teams.
Yeah.
Division 5, Sarah Shaw, who helped Assumption finish the year with a 24-4 record, was named all-state. The 5'6 guard averaged 11.4 points, 4.2 rebounds, and 6.2 steals per game for Coach Ryan Klein and the Royals, which reached the sectional semifinals against Edgar. And speaking of the Wildcats, senior Reagan Borkart was also selected to the All-State team. In addition, six area girls were named honorable mention in Division 5, also from Assumption, sophomore Anna Schooley, Jalen Syvertson, a senior from iScan, and senior Lainey Havlovitz from Wild Rose. In Division 4, senior Anna Marie Owie from Auburndale, and in Division 1, seniors Emma Jossi from Spash and Danielle Minsas of Marshfield. So that was congratulations to those girls who made the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association first team and honorable mention.
Very deserving. Very deserving for them. A big congratulations to them. Such a fun season. High school boys, girls, all of the above.
Yeah, just like our caller said, it's so much fun these last couple of weeks, you know, starting off with the playoffs when you start with the regional games and everybody, you know, next loss and you're done, right? One and done, and just like it is in the NCAA tournament. And just following our local teams as they made their way to sectionals and then nobody getting to state this year, which is kind of an oddity, not having to travel over to Green Bay or down to Madison. Yeah. But my grandson went down to all five of those championship games. He said it was a blast. And I said, yeah, isn't that kind of cool? You see all these different kids or adults, even, you know, you might see a sweatshirt that says Sparta on it, right? Well, there's nobody from Sparta there, but they're just there maybe supporting West Salem because they're in the conference, you know, and people just love to watch it as well. And speaking of sweatshirts, hey,
Yes, I love the Burning Eights gear. Yeah. I was going to tell you right away. I got distracted by Coach.
We had Ross on a couple of weeks ago, and that event took place this last weekend, that Muskie Expo up in Wausau, so we got a chance to go up there. And, oh my gosh, you should have seen it. It was just packed. I don't know if you've ever been up to the Cedar Creek Mall, but on the left-hand side, that's where the event takes place. And there is just a ginormous parking lot. You could hardly find a parking spot. Mm. Went into one of the seminars. There had to be 500 chairs. They were full. And the expo itself was full at the same time. It was quite an event this year. I think really it was bigger cool. and better than ever. Yeah.
Oh, so great to hear.
Always look forward to that. And Ross had a nice display set up again for Bern & Nates, and it's always enjoyable to see that and talk to his fishing partners. And they had videos running and just a crowd kind of standing around watching the videos as well. That's always kind of
cool. Yeah, that is always
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, so
it was good fun. For them. That's good. That's really cool to hear. And good on you for going. It sounded like a fun event.
Yeah, it was.
I do want to also thank you, Randy, for all the work that you did throughout the season. You and your partner and broadcasting there and stuff and covering all these games for us throughout the season. It's been it was an exciting year. Made all the more exciting, not only from your great work, but the great coverage we were able to bring. And so I also want to send a shout out to Don Cheeseborough. Don doing the great producing that he does for these games, you and him working together so well. I know that if I see you two on the broadcast, I can count on it. I not only am I going to get a good broadcast, I don't always know if I'm going to get a good game, but I know that I'm going to get a good presentation. And it's going to sound good. Appreciate you guys and the work that you do.
Well, it's always fun with Don because, you know, he's always updating me on local scores.
Yeah.
So he's not just sitting here and lounging around. He's looking up these different scores and sending them my way so that we can send them to the listeners right away so they can be listening to our broadcast as well as finding out what's going on with the local team. So that makes it even more special.
Don't get the chance to give it credit nearly enough, but Don works really hard for us. Mm-hmm. You know, between that, the Twitter page that he runs and different things, Don does a great job with us. And we appreciate the work that
sure
he does.
Sure does.
Looking forward to another season coming up here in a while. But you guys got some time. You got some time to take a break here and stuff. I did want to talk about, before we get to the World Baseball Classic, I did want to kind of touch on a little bit of the NCAA March Madness. Just a couple of interesting notes, of course, coming out of the weekend games. Certainly, obviously, the biggest one, it took 33 years for a 16 seed to knock off a number one seed when UMBC beat Virginia back in 18. It only took 5 years for that to happen again with a 16 seed, the Fairleigh Dickinson team, stunning the whole world by beating Purdue. Well, almost the whole world. I don't think that Big Ten fans were too shocked. I don't think many of us were, like, blown away by that. I saw, oh, Fairleigh Dickinson beat a 16, beat a number one. Oh, that's exciting. I told my buddy, that's got to be Purdue. I couldn't remember the bracket lineup the way it was. Sure enough, yeah, it's Purdue. Because, I mean, and to be fair, it could have been any number one seed. Like all of this was just throwing a dart at the board right now and stuff. Purdue, the unfortunate part is that the Purdue has a history of this. 13 plus after that loss to 16 seed Fairleigh Dickinson, Purdue becomes the first team to lose three straight NCAA tournament games to teams seeded 13th or worse. That's rough. There's bad history, and then there's something like that. I don't know. That's a rough one.
Well, just think about it. They almost lost to the Badgers a few weeks ago, and they didn't even make the tournament, right?
Yeah, so, that's true. Yeah,
so maybe that wasn't as shocking as people thought. My grandson was telling me some of the details about Fairleigh Dickinson. Do you know they didn't win their conference tournament, and yet they got in?
Right, yeah.
Because
yeah.
The team that beat them for the championship was not eligible for the NCAA tournament for a couple of years because they were Division II.
Right.
Fairleigh Dickinson had three Division II players on their squad, is for what he told me. He also said their colleges, their gymnasium is smaller than some of our high school gyms here in Wisconsin. He also stated that the swimming pool is like located right above the gym, so sometimes it leaks and they have to cancel practice.
I got a good one, too. Columbus, since Fairleigh Dickinson doesn't have a band, Dayton's band has stepped up. The UD band team learned FDU's fight song minutes before tip-off on Friday. So those Dayton kids learn that, 5 minutes before they go on, I watched some of that game. I didn't notice that wasn't their team. I thought they had a band.
Right.
How cool is that? Shout out to the Dayton kids for doing something like that. They also were waving around plastic swords that they got from Party City to root on the knights with the knight swords and everything. God, I love this time of year.
Aww.
Like, this is what's good about sports. This is what's fun and lovable about sports is, yeah, it's cool they won and everything. Look at all the work that it took to get this team here, to just be able to show up and play. Like, I don't know how you can't. I understand that with college athletics, there could be some gray area. There can be some things where serious conversations need to
be
had.
Ugly, right.
That's a whole other, like, I can separate the two. For me, I can do that. And that's, I just love this time of year and all these crazy things that can happen. The upsets are great. Yeah, I love those. This is what I really love about it, though, is these things, these Dayton kids. Nobody really pushed them to do this. They just picked it up and they noticed, hey, Dickinson doesn't have a team. Why don't we be their band? And let's learn their fight song. Let's go ahead and let's buy some swords. It's cool. It's just interesting. There's a lot to love about the tournament, and it will just keep going, too. I don't know how anybody's brackets are looking. I haven't even thought about looking at my bracket.
I think it was the whole first round, and then there was just a couple hundred brackets left, and then after not even the whole second round. I think after Saturday, there were none left. Nobody had a perfect bracket anymore.
What?
Which kind of surprises me because, you know, there's got to be people in there just flipping coins and putting
sure.
it out, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
and people picking strange upsets or whatever, but none. That's crazy.
So in one division, I got Houston and Xavier facing off with Houston winning. On the other side, Kansas and Gonzaga facing off with Gonzaga winning. And then I've got Alabama and Arizona in the other side with Alabama winning that one. But then in the next one, I've got Purdue and Marquette facing Ooh. Off with Marquette winning and taking on Alabama. So yeah, don't think that one's going to go well. I got Gonzaga winning the whole thing.
Okay.
So if Gonzaga does still, you know, win this whole thing, then I've got a chance, but it ain't good. It ain't looking
and
good.
And they only beat TCU by, I think, three last night.
Oh, yeah,
night,
like barely.
They
yeah.
had a tough one. I got UCLA winning it. I saw them against Arizona twice and thought they looked pretty good, you know, and they were missing a few kids, so I thought they had a chance.
Seth's got UCLA winning, too. That's interesting.
You know, and I didn't have Marquette going real far because I know they'd run into Tom Izzo.
Yeah, that was so smart on your part. Yes, I made a horrible error by not realizing they would be facing. But when I noticed that, you don't go against Tom Izzo.
No,
you don't. Just
not at this time.
Here. Nope. Let's take a call. Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Well, good morning, fellas. How you been?
Pretty well. You?
I'm waiting for the Bears to decide what they're going to do, but I'm kind of worried about what they're going to do in the NFC North.
What do you mean specifically? Like, what are you worried about?
Well, I think the Bears are actually a divisional rival now of my beloved Minnesota Vikings.
I think that this is going to be. I'm glad this kind of came up actually, and it's good to talk to you, man. It's been a while. I think this is going to be fascinating. For let's say that things go the way that it looks like they're going to go, that A-Rod is out, that he's going to be in New York or wherever, you know, in the darkness and all that stuff. I think that it's pretty consensus now from Packer fans that they're ready to move on. I would say the overwhelming majority feel that way, obviously including Mr. Gutenkutz. So I think it's pretty safe to say that. But that makes it very exciting, not just for, like, Minnesota, Bear, Detroit fans. I would say it makes it exciting for Green Bay fans, too. Like, yeah, maybe you don't have your Hall of Fame quarterback. You also don't have your Hall of Fame drama queen anymore. And you got a kid who's hungry, wants to prove himself. I think that's exciting to me. I think that you've got a pretty... it's not like the cupboard's bare. You still got an Aaron Jones there. You still got some nice solid pieces there and everything. So you got something... It's not like you have to completely rebuild. In Detroit, obviously, we've seen some real, like, fun stuff going on with Detroit. And it looks like Dan Campbell's got his, you know, got that team listening to him and everything. And I don't know the shelf life on that. But for right now, going to be exciting going into the 23 season. Minnesota is interesting with they've shown you, hey, we're a team to not take lightly. And at the same time, late in the season, we haven't seen what we want to see. So that's a team with some stuff to improve. Like you don't let go of Adam Thielen because you think he's got left in legs there. And then there is my Bears. who nobody has any idea what to expect. Nobody has a clue what's going to happen with this team. Is Justin Fields going to take a step back? Is he going to take a step forward? What are they going to do with the number 9 pick? You've got, like, it's all well and good to rob the Carolina Panthers like they did, because that is a straight-up robbery, people. That was not a trade. That was a robbery. That was an upfront, in-your-face, I-am-robbing-you moment. If there's one thing I know about being from the other side of the tracks, I know a robbery when I see one, and that was a straight-up robbery. But that's great. Now, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to be able to take advantage of having a DJ Moore as your number one? Are you going to make smart picks with those picks right in there and everything? So I think that you do have to keep an eye on Chicago, but they haven't earned your fear yet, I don't think.
I really like Motor City Dan Campbell over in Detroit. I think they got a good thing going over there.
Yeah.
But I'm just waiting. How long until Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets and then decides he wants to be a Viking?
He's got a pattern to keep up here. He's got a pattern he's got to keep, yes.
Yeah, and I saw that the Vikings just re-upped Kirk Cousins for a year. So it's like, well, they could possibly work out a trade, and we could see the whole Brett Favre thing kind of come full circle.
I ran through this with Jay Cutler, where I wasn't a fan of Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler goes to Chicago. I'm a fan of Jay Cutler. It's how it works. Jay Cutler leaves Chicago, and I immediately go back to not being a fan of Jay Cutler. Be honest, just between you and I, you, I, and Randy, man, nobody else, just between us, is that the Kirk Cousins situation for you? Is that how you are about Kirk Cousins, or do you genuinely like Kirk Cousins?
Oh, I genuinely—he's a good guy.
Okay, he's a good quarterback. Wasn't sure. I got a couple other Minnesota fans that are very Cutler-like with him. So I wasn't sure. Okay. Well, that being said, you've got a quarterback. You've got your quarterback, which is one of the most coveted things in sports. You've got the arguably greatest receiver in football. Like, going forward for you, how do you feel about Minnesota? How do you feel about next year and all that?
I think they're really good. They just got a. I saw that they did re-sign Harrison Smith. That is the first and foremost.
It's a big one.
That's great. They re-signed Jordan Hicks, the linebacker. They let go of Eric Kendricks. They've been cutting a lot of cap space, and I think they only have like 4 draft picks. So they're doing what they can within their budget. But I think they're headed in the right direction. I'm really sad to see Patrick Peterson left.
Mm.
He's somebody I wish they would have kept around, but, it's a business.
Well, with that being said, with the business part of it this offseason, I was a little surprised to see all these cuts, and I didn't realize how bad Minnesota's cap was. Was Minnesota in win-now mode? And I didn't even know.
I think the Vikings are perpetually in win-now mode. They win now.
right. Yeah. I don't know. Usually you see these cap casualty things happen when a team is trying to win it all, like the Rams. What's going on with the Rams right now, where they literally have a garage sale going on right in front of SoFi Stadium. They have a garage sign out, everything. Like, if you want it, come get it. Like, it's there. You want Jalen Ramsey for a 3rd rounder? Sure. We would like a 2nd rounder, but we'll bargain with you. We'll take a 3rd. Like, there's a garage sale going on right now with that team.
Hey, I do have a question. Maybe Randy might know. Everybody, now that Aaron is leaving Green Bay, Jordan Love is the guy. Who is the backup quarterback in case he gets hurt?
Yeah, I read his name, and it's just not familiar coming to me right now, but it's nobody with any experience, and that was one of the things that I was reading about that the Packers might be looking for, getting a kind of a solid backup quarterback, a veteran quarterback, cheap in free agency.
Yeah,
because
I haven't done any research on that, but because that's one thing that they're talking about. Well, now that Green Bay has moved on from Aaron and they have Jordan Love, I was just wondering, because one thing about Jordan Love is they're talking about his size, and he might get it. What happens if he gets injured? And I was like, who is their backup? I don't even know who their backup in Green Bay is, other than Jordan.
This is part of the reason why I was, and great talking to you, man. Always good talking to you. Thanks for the call, bud. You have a good week. Cool.
Thanks.
Yeah, make sure to join us next week. Good to talk to you, man. This is part of the problem of dragging our feet and waiting to get something done here, because if you don't, then you're stuck with Danny Etling. out of Texas, I believe, as your backup quarterback to Jordan Love. Right now, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, you're 1-2. That looks pretty good. But A-Rod gone, you're looking at Jordan Love with Danny Etling, your number two, at least right now on the current Packers roster. That's what I'm looking at here on the Packers.com website.
Yeah, and you can almost guarantee if Aaron Rodgers does leave that they'll get somebody else, because you can't be playing in this day and age. You look at, again, I think we reference this every time we talk quarterbacks. You look at the 49ers, and they went through four.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have at least, three.
Had they been able to get rid of him sooner, with him not tying their hands and all these things, then maybe they could have gotten one of these backup quarterbacks that have been already picked up by a team and stuff. I think that you also were looking at like the Bears got really lucky picking up P.J. Walker. P.J. Walker and Justin Fields have similar skill sets. Their playbooks are going to be very similar. What you're running into with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, the reason that LaFleur grabbed Jordan Love is, I want to do an option-type offense. I want to do running offense, all this. I have to have this playbook for Aaron Rodgers, this playbook for Jordan Love. Now you want to bring in a quarterback that's going to have a similar play style as Jordan Love. But those quarterbacks are all gone pretty much now. So Aaron Rodgers ties your hands in this respect too, of bringing in free agents. The wide receiver situation of all of this is nowadays, I want to go to a team with a good quarterback. If I don't know if Aaron's going to be in Green Bay, I'm not going to sign with Green Bay. I don't know why you would sign with New York either, but that's a whole other conversation for Alan Lazard and his team to have. I don't know. It's a ugly, muddy situation that hopefully works itself out sooner than later. I don't want to spend our last minutes talking about the Aaron Rodgers. I want to talk about the World Baseball Classic, and a shout out to Trey Turner and USA. USA. Everybody, USA. USA. Huh? This is great. We're in the final. It's awesome.
Last score I saw yesterday, they were up like 12-2.
Yeah, it finished off 14-2, thumping on Cuba, which pretty impressive.
Was it Turner that had a couple home runs yesterday? Somebody jacked up.
Yeah, Turner did. And the number 9 spot. This, you look at that lineup, there's like an all-star game lineup, and then there's this lineup. I also saw an interesting stat. If you tried to field this team, like how much it would cost.
Oh, yeah.
Like in the billions.
Oh.
That's insane to me. Like, that's just insane.
That'd be just like having Aaron Rodgers on your team.
You're right. Nicely done. Nicely done by you. So Team USA will take Monday off and watch the game between its potential opponents. Japan will start its flamethrower, 21-year-old phenom Roki Sasaki. Also plans to throw Yoshiba. He's planning on, they might sit him because he's like the equivalent of the Cy Young winner in Japan. They may, if Japan grabs an early lead over Mexico, they may sit him so he can face off against the U.S. But a shout out to Mexico as well. Mexico going up against Japan, I believe. Yeah, Mexico facing off against Mexico, which handed the U.S. its only WBC loss and beat a game Puerto Rico Puerto Rican team I didn't think anybody was going to beat. I thought that team was going to go on and win this whole thing. So I thought that Mexico, kudos to them. Should be fun.
Should be fun. It's and what, a week from Thursday, so we're what, 10 days away from the Brewers opening up against the Cubs?
About 9-10 days away.
Isn't
from opening
crazy?
Day.
Yep.
Opening day. Oh, God, it feels good. We're so close to opening day, everybody. And that, of course, means as well that we are close to Rafters season kicking off.
Yeah.
The Rafters season kicking off very soon here. Of course, we're your home for your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. We're looking forward to having Meet Your Rafters back and so much of that. Got another new GM, so hopefully you can get him on the air with us and talk with him. We're looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, I was just looking at their schedule. I can't get here soon enough at end of May into August.
So excited. Always a good time hanging out with you, Randy. Thanks so much for all the great work you do.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
I know it might be a little bit here. You're going to probably maybe take some time off here, so we'll see you when we see you.
Exactly.
Looking forward to talking with you again real soon, brother. Thank you for everything, and thank you to the best listeners and radio calling up and joining us. Thanks for the time, everybody. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Buy local, support local. We'll be back with more Playmakers with you next Monday from 10 to 11 right here at...